into session as soon as we get a quorum here. If you've signed up, we have three people signed up for public comments today, and they're available to, they're allowed to comment on any topic. Then there are also sign-up sheets for commenting on the specific issues, and the comments are on the specific issues on the agenda. There's no signs allowed for security reasons, and instead of clapping here, you wave your hands like this if you want to indicate support for something that's being said. So we'll get started here just as soon as we get some more colleagues on the City Council. Portland City Council in session February 4th will come to order. Carl, will you please call the roll?
Fish. Fritz.
Here.
Leonard.
Here.
Saltzman. Adams.
Here. Do we do the public comment or the time service first?
A comment.
All right. Would you please introduce item 87?
Request of Steve Gunther to address Council regarding Maintenance Bureau opportunity to protect the Willamette River.
Morning.
How are you?
Good. I brought a little prop with me. This is a pretty crude device, but I'll explain it as I go through. It's a pollution control device.
Okay.
So I suspect no one's going to remember what I'll say here this morning. I didn't sign up to participate in any circus event, and I'd actually prefer it if Mr. Adams and Mr. Larson weren't here with us at City Hall. That stated, I'm here to present information on a low-cost, low-tech, labor-intensive, and high-impact pollution reduction concept. I'm not pitching a product. I'm advocating a different approach to environmental challenges. Some background, I got my Bachelor of Science from Portland State. I've worked for nearly 20 years in the Northwest environmental industry. I've supplied millions of dollars worth of environmental products and services to businesses and government. The low-cost, low-tech, labor-intensive, and high impact environmental product I brought here this morning. It's a catch basin insert filter. This is emblematic of the kind of solutions that deserve greater use and encouragement by the city. I mailed an authoritative scientific study to the council last week on this concept. Commissioner Fritz, representative, was kind enough to acknowledge receipt of this. Thank you. The study showed that these products, simple products, which are sold under a variety of names by a variety of companies like mine, Progressive Products and Services, they are effective. The products capture oil and grease and suspended solids that contaminate our rivers and streams. The dirt that gets captured in these insert filters adheres to trace metals in stormwater like lead, zinc, and chromium that are known pollutants. In and around Portland, large industrial concerns, trucking companies, recycling companies, petroleum companies, and other businesses installed over 1,000 of these products last year. Yesterday, the City of Portland's Maintenance Bureau reported that they'd installed maybe 50 all year long, all last year. The city owns more storm drains than any other property owner around. The city collects millions of dollars in stormwater fees and has scores of employees working on stormwater pollution prevention, yet there's no information on the available on the use and effectiveness of these low-cost devices. The city's stormwater management manual doesn't recognize this type of product as a best management practice. Still, these products are being used extensively because business leaders recognize the product for what it is. It's simple, it's effective, and it's inexpensive. I can swap these out for less than $100. I'd like to sell $5,000 to the city today. Does it have limitations? Yes. Is it a cure? No. But its results are positive and measurable. It is a best management practice for stormwater pollution reduction, despite the stormwater management manual failure to identify it as such. Big pipes and underground sledgehammers are great, but don't discount the value of a good fly swatter. Finally, I picked up this beautiful 2009 City of Portland Stormwater Management calendar yesterday, and it features eco roofs, beautifully landscaped parking lots, bio swales, and that are elegant and expensive. The calendar probably costs a few thousand taxpayer dollars, sends a nice message, but this year, please consider spending Portland's pollution prevention tax dollars in ways that are more measurable, that produce more measurable benefits. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gunther. And if you want to stop by Commissioner Saltzman's office on this floor on the way out, I'm sure he's in charge of the Bureau of Environmental Services that has responsibility for this issue. I'm sure he'd like to hear from you. Please read item 88.
Request of Lars Larson to address council regarding Mayor Adams' legal issues.
Good morning. Welcome to the City Council.
Good morning.
You have, please state your name, and you have 3 minutes.
My name is Lars Larson. I'm an Oregon taxpayer, and I make my living in the city every day. Like Mr. Gunther, I would like to see the city cleaned up. We do have a problem here. I'm here representing myself, and I wrote down my comments because I wanted to make sure that I got it just right. I started working in this building almost 30 years ago, and my job was to ask questions. And so I'd like to ask a few questions of you, Mayor Adams, and also the other commissioners who are here present, and I appreciate you being present today, and thank you for the opportunity. Mayor Adams, why should any of the commissioners who are sitting around you at this moment believe anything that you say from this point forward based on your behavior and the things we've learned in the last couple of weeks? You have confessed that as a city commissioner and on city business, you went to Salem to talk to people at the legislature, and while you were there, you met and began pursuing a 17-year-old. Why did you lie to voters about that behavior? Why did you then invite that teenager to visit you in your office? Why did you then invite him to lunch? In this building, we now know that you took this teenager to a bathroom and engaged in intimate contact, and then you lied to Portland about it. I'd like to know why. Why did you then attend that teenager's birthday party? And why did you then have sex with that teenager after he was barely of legal age? And why, when confronted by a political opponent, did you trash a good man, Bob Ball? And what made you think that you had the right to wreck his reputation? If Portland voters knew then what they know today about you, do you think that you would have been elected mayor? Why did you coach that teenager to lie to protect your skin, and did you use city resources to help coach him to lie? Did you use city resources in the last couple of weeks, in particular your press secretary in your office, to defend your personal behavior? And do you believe that you have the right to use public resources to defend your outrageous public behavior, personal behavior? Why did you not come clean until Mark Zussman and Nigel Jaquist and Hank Stern finally brought the story to public view? And why did you then continue to lie after those revelations to save your own skin? Wade Nkrumah reportedly quit because even after you were found out, you then lied to your own staff about it, and when Nkrumah quit, you told reporters it was because he couldn't take the stress. It appears there was a different reason. At one point during Derek Foxworth's scandal, you said that when somebody becomes the punchline to a joke, it's time to go. Is it time for you to go? And since my time is nearly up, I'd like to ask the other commissioners, why should you continue to come to this room and do business with this man when it's very clear that he does not have the public's trust today? If he does not have your trust, should you continue to come to these council chambers and do business, or should Mayor Sam Adams resign? Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. Item number 89.
Request of Tom Klofsky to address council regarding Mayor Adams. Tom Klofsky.
I think he's making his way. Good morning, Mr. Klofsky. Welcome to the City Council. You have, please state your name, and you have 3 minutes.
My name is Tom Klofsky, and I'm a small business owner out in Gresham. We do small excavation work, and I'm here today because this issue concerns me. All the stuff that I've read, it's just time after time, it's just beyond my belief that we can sit here and allow this type of behavior to go on. I've heard you apologize to a number of different people, but not one apology to Bob Ball. I think you owe it to him. There's a couple things you've quoted, and I'll quote you about what you've said. I've said in the past that I will in the future respond to people who reach out to me for help and advice, especially it's true when it comes to young people. Does that mean you ask them to lie for you and protect your name? Another quote, I did not get into public office to allow my instincts of others who have smeared out of fear of sleazy misrepresentations or political manipulation. I understand the need for good judgment. I think you've lost your good judgment. Under the code of ethics here, I looked online under trust, 1.03.020 trust, letter B, city officials promote public respect, avoiding even the appearance of impropriety. I think you failed on that matter. Accountability, 1.0.040. Campaign elections allow voters to make informed choices on appropriate criteria. By you lying to the voters on this matter, didn't allow them to make the appropriate decisions they needed and made the bad election to put you in mayor. The last one under leadership, 1.03.050. Leadership officials obey both the letter and the spirit of the law and regulations. The law-abiding behavior by the city officials sets a good example for citizens who respect the law. Laws govern their public duties and especially important, but even the actions in private life carry a public message. And if you continue to be mayor of this city, as a business owner, I deal with inspectors in some of the excavation work we do. Does it mean it's okay for me to lie to the inspectors and just apologize later? Because if you're still in office, that's what the message I'm hearing that we allow. So I thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Could you read item number 90? Raise your hands.
Did you want to dispose of the consent agenda?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Does anyone have any items? We have three items pulled from the consent agenda, 98, 99, and 102. Is there any other items? Okay. So we have the consent agenda minus 98, 99, 102, and 105. So let's vote on the consent agenda.
Ask the audience for any polls.
Any other items pulled from the consent agenda? Okay, go ahead.
Fish?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Shall we move to the regular agenda or hear the polled items?
It's up to the council.
Well, we have time certain, so let's do the time certain. So if you could read item 90.
90. Commend Portland Fire and Rescue, Portland Water Bureau, and the critical infrastructure agencies of public utilities for excellent coordination and service during the winter storm event of 2008.
All right. Commissioner Leonard.
Thank you, Mayor Adams, and my colleagues on the council. It's certainly true that the public expects, in a crisis, all of the city agencies to respond in a focused and, if not selfless, manner. And to that extent, there really wasn't anything extraordinary about the events that led to the city's employees' response to the snow and ice and freezing weather around Christmas. However, I think it is important, if not for the employees, the public, to be able to honor and recognize the selfless acts of city employees that really set aside their own personal needs, their families' needs, and think first of public service. And there is nothing that I honor more than the selfless acts of our frontline workers who just really just get out and get it done when it really counts. There are going to be a series of acknowledgments of that. I am honored to have the first two for two of the bureaus I am honored to oversee. The Portland Fire Bureau and the Portland Water Bureau served above and beyond the call of duty during the Christmas era when we had so much snow and ice and we had people literally freezing to death out on the streets. We had, in particular, in fact, I want to call up the Portland Water Bureau first, if I could. David Schaff, I believe, is here. And anybody, David, that you want to bring with you. Is Al Zulu here? Al, come on up, too. Perry, why don't you come on up? The Portland Water Bureau has a bus that they use for tours of the Bull Run. And just as an aside, if anybody's ever interested in seeing really the most beautiful, pristine area, I believe, that you will ever see, you're welcome to do one of our tours. But the Water Bureau activated the bus during the snowstorm and ice storm to transport people that were exposed to the elements outside with no place to go. They got them on the bus, got them to the places they needed to be. And each person at the Water Bureau that was involved in that effort worked long days, long nights, including Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, to make sure first that that they were protecting the lives of people who couldn't fend for themselves. But in particular, I want to point out Al Zulu, who's here. Al drove the bus all three nights, including Christmas Eve and Christmas morning. And I have a certificate that each of us will give each of our bureaus, but for on Al's behalf, I want to point out that also Al was probably not surprisingly one of the volunteers who spent 30 days back when Hurricane Katrina hit with our Water Bureau crews down in New Orleans. The only water department in the United States that got to New Orleans and the only water department that was able to actually get water turned back on, including the New Orleans Water Department, was the Portland Water Bureau, of which Al was a participant of. So I'm really proud of you, Al. And before I give the larger award, we started a little tradition in the Water Bureau, I'm proud to say, and it's called the Commissioner's Coin. And it's a beautifully designed coin that was designed by Water Bureau staff that shows Bull Run Lake on one side, the Simon Benson Bubbler on the other. And I want to make sure, in addition to the general recognition of the Water Bureau, that we recognize Al in particular with this coin. Thank you, Al.
Suspend the rules to clap.
Suspend the rules.
And, of course, for the Water Bureau, I'm really pleased to give you this certificate that's in recognition and with thanks for the time and effort for the excellent coordination during the winter storm event of 2008. You've made all of us very proud. Thank you. Thanks again.
Commissioner,
thanks,
Terry. Commissioner Leonard, can I just add something to your comments while the gentlemen are still standing? Because there's another piece of this story, a back story, that the public may be interested in knowing, and that is that at the time that the call went out to the Water Bureau to participate in this massive mobilization during the winter emergency to make sure that homeless individuals and families had shelter, originally the intent was for the city to partner with TriMet to provide the bus service. And the buses served two functions. They served as temporary warming centers, getting people off the street into a warm place, and to transport people to various centers, including a center for pregnant women and families at 82nd. Well, as many of you know, TriMet, because of the severity of the storm, had significant challenges with their buses. And frankly, their buses just couldn't get to certain places. Many of their buses were damaged during the storm, and there was a significant cutback in their service as a result. And people will also recall that the MAX lines weren't operating. And so at the moment in which the city literally had no other option, because of Commissioner Leonard, Director Schaff, and the extraordinary service of people like Al, the Water Bureau stepped up and said, we've got some vehicles and we can use them. And I had the great honor of meeting Al during this period of time. And one frigid evening, standing in front of a hotel in Old Town Chinatown, as we were both shivering, I asked him what drove him to do this, what compelled him to do this. And without hesitating, he said that it was an honor to serve others. And that's why he was doing it. That was the first words out of his mouth. This was during the Christmas holiday week. And as people know, that's a week where many of us have already got plans to see family. We're usually overscheduled. We're scrambling to buy presents. We're entertaining friends and family. But for 3 nights, Al drove the bus. And the people that he took to shelter were disabled veterans, pregnant women, young families, people that otherwise would have been on the street, left to the elements. And we know as a city that people might have died had people like Al Zullo not intervened. So I just want to add my voice to the commissioner and say how proud we all are of the service of our city employees, and in particular the folks from the Water Bureau who stepped up when we had no other option and saved lives.
Thank you.
So could we please suspend the rules and applaud for these set of resolutions?
Thank you very much, and thank you, Commissioner Fish, for those very kind remarks. Thank you, Al. Appreciate it. Thanks. So the last presentation I have is for the Portland Fire Bureau, and so do we have representatives that come forward from the Bureau? There's Chief Quam, and I see a few others lingering back there. Come on forward, each of you. So my standard for public service has been taught to me through the years that I worked at the Portland Fire Bureau. So I've told people since coming to the City Council, it has been a blessing and a curse coming from the Portland Fire Bureau. And the blessing has been that I know how it is that public employees can serve the citizens from the years I spent at the Bureau. The curse has been try to get others to think like that and perform to that level. But I know it's humanly possible because I see these men and women do it every day, and I worked with them for a long time when they did it. So I'm just not surprised, but once again, pleased that they continue this tremendous tradition of service to Portlanders. We've got Michael and Matt Silva standing up here quickly, they're twins. They're in the Fire Bureau together. They're both identical twins. In fact, right now I can't tell you which one is which. But they were front and center, as they always are, during the storm, driving rigs, right? And what all did you guys do? Tell everybody what you guys did. I heard your names every time I turned around during the storm.
Well, we were transporting homeless individuals that were stuck on the street, unable to make it to the homeless shelters, from the homeless shelters to some of the Red Cross centers that were set up and to the soup kitchens. And
you're Michael. Yes. Come up here. Come here. Michael, come here. Because I'm going to do something I've never seen done before, but I'm going to ask you to sit here and tell everybody the story about the apartment house that lost its heat. And there were elderly people stuck in this apartment house during the ice storm in freezing temperatures. And Michael and Matt, on their days off, do a lot of contracting. And you came up with an ingenious solution that literally probably saved people's lives. Come up here and sit down and tell everybody that. don't get too comfortable there, Michael. just say what you have to say.
Like he said, we do some contracting on the side, and they had a contractor that was servicing their boiler unit, which went out. They ordered one from, I think it was New York. It wasn't going to come in for like a week, and we knew of a temporary boiler service that could come out, set up on the street, and provide heat for the building. And nobody else knew about it.
And you got it done.
We got it done.
So you're the man. So, thank you. Thank you, Michael. Short and sweet. So on behalf of really a grateful city, I have, this just feels like not enough, but I do have a certificate to give the Portland Bureau of Fire and Rescue, and it says, in recognition and with thanks for the time and effort for excellent coordination during the winter storm event of 2008. Chief Klum, I know you're very proud of the men and women that you work with. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much. They're ready just to take an order and do something right now.
Well, I want to just add, Commissioner Fish and I on Christmas Eve served dinners at Harbor Light and then went over to the homeless shelter at the Portland Rescue Mission. We served dinner at Portland Rescue and went to the shelter at the
Foursquare
Church. And it wasn't just that we were offering, you know, transportation services and city employees. I can't tell you how much it meant to the folks that we were seeking to provide services to, that people with fire uniforms showed up and were so friendly and so accessible and treated them with such respect. It meant a lot. So the Fire Bureau, a special thanks to you.
And Mayor, if I could just add again, there's a backstory that, I mean, you can't say enough. And Chief Klum was scheduled to take some time off during the holidays. And on the Saturday, either before or after Christmas, he got in his own vehicle and transported people between shelters. Chief of our entire bureau took the evening to be out. When there was a communications glitch, he provided that walkie-talkies on a special dedicated frequency would be given to all the partners so that they were linked through a communication system. When the sewer system at the Foursquare Church, which was a facility that had a gymnasium and a couple of toilets but was not intended to house hundreds of people a night, when the sewer system broke because of freezing weather, pipes broke, and the facility was at risk of being shut down, he sent a Fire Bureau contingent over, then on his own, with the leadership, contracted with someone to come in and repair the damage. Also sent crews in the evenings to shovel so that disabled people would have access to it. And Randy, what's the name of those vehicles they used? The vehicles they borrowed? The four-wheel. I think they're called the Warthogs, but I'm not sure why.
What do you call those, John, those little four-wheel drive?
Warthogs.
Chief Klum has a lot in common, actually, with Commissioner Leonard and I. We're all three of us are plus or minus 50. All three of us have children at home, somewhere short of 15.
Yeah.
In the Chief's case, he and I have children under 5.
Yeah.
And Chief Schmidt, I mean, for the public watching this, we are so blessed to have people like this in leadership positions. Absolutely. In our city. And one other thing I just want to mention is the Silver Brothers were doing this evening duty on their own dime because they were scheduled to work a normal shift. And so for at least one of the nights, they took a room at a hotel in the Lloyd District so that they would get 2 hours of sleep before going back to work on their own dime. I mean, it just says it all.
Yeah. Thank you, Commissioner Fish.
All right. Commissioner Fritz.
It's my pleasure to commend the Bureau of Emergency Communications, the Office of Neighborhood Involvement and Information and Referral Program, and the Multnomah County Emergency Medical Services for excellent service. So I'd like to call up Bureau of Emergency Communications Operations Manager Tony Sexton and John Dutt, the Supervisor of Information and Referral at the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. Do we have anybody here from Multnomah County Emergency Medical Services or American Medical Response? So please come forward. Thank you for being here. Thank you for all your services. Because one of the things I think that people sometimes don't remember is that there's people answering phones and dispatching people and giving information during this response, as well as the people who are freezing on the streets. You had to get in to work in order to be able to make the rest of the system work. And so I truly appreciate your service. In particular, for the emergency communications, I want to recognize Operations Manager Tony Sexton for her dedication and all of your staff. Just some examples, Todd DeWeese and Jillian Butler both worked long days during the storm covering for those who called in sick. Both spent 2 nights at the Bureau. Senior dispatcher Nick White came in on his days off to help out with coverage to ensure that the phones were answered, dispatch positions covered, and sidewalks kept free of snow and ice, which I'm guessing is not in his job description. Oh, excellent. I keep remembering that particular clause. Good.
Nice.
Emergency communication supervisors Merle Morley, acting communication supervisor Chris West, senior dispatcher Mike Grimm, and senior dispatch Mike Atkins spent many hours shoveling the parking lot, assisting employees with chains and windows so that they could get home safely. Mike even slept there one night between his 14 to 16 hour shifts. And Chris West did a lot of shoveling and assisted firefighters and facilities personnel in working on our roof leaks. So thank you to you and all of your staff. At the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, John Dutt came in at 5 o'clock, got up at 5 o'clock to come in every day. And those of us who were coming in know how difficult with the buses not running on time and all of the challenges that we had to get in so that those phones were manned so that we had the right messages going out to citizens and staff, and so that the emergency message was updated with current information. John and his staff helped community members who were inquiring about road conditions, office closures, and local government response, in addition to all of the other calls that they take. They assisted the clients of closed county offices in obtaining emergency medications, counseling, and medical advice. And they maintained a service level of 85% of calls answered within 25 seconds throughout the 3 days of the emergency. That's amazing. And then we're also recognizing Multnomah County Emergency Medical Services, one of our partner agencies. And citizens sometimes complain that government entities don't work together, but in this emergency, we really did, and we thank you so much for all of your work and your challenges of getting into work and making that communication. Could you state your name for the record for us? Thank you very much. And
I'm Susan Barr.
And you're Susan Barr. And so American Medical Response is here also representing our community partners, our healthcare providers, and the private entities that help with this response. I have to mention my hospital partners as a former OHSU nurse and also those at Legacy and Providence and Kaiser. People, again, at our hospitals and medical institutions stayed overnight and worked long, long shifts and made the system work and made sure that services were provided to people who needed them. And we really appreciate all of your service to our city, to our region, remembering that both emergency communications and many of our other services are Multnomah County-wide. They're not just the city of Portland. And so I have these commendations, and thank you so much for all of your work.
And just to underscore the voicemail message that up to 5,400 employees in the city of Portland relied on for knowing the request to stay home, go to work late, that was updated every day, and John had to get up at 3:34 in the morning to physically come to City Hall to do that, and clearly a glitch that we need to fix, but I want to underscore our thanks, especially to John.
And I have to mention that the two people with John are actually with us. So.
Okay.
I appreciate them bluffing to help the commissioner out, but.
Thank you, Commissioner
Fritz. Thank you for all your work.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. I have the great honor of recognizing not only a number of city agencies and bureaus, but also some of our critical nonprofit and community partners who stepped up and helped save lives. And I'm going to invite them all to come up as a group. But before I do so, I just want to build on what my colleagues have already said so eloquently and note that we have a president who has called us to service and has framed service to others as our highest aspiration. And on his election night, spoke of something called the new patriotism, which he defined as service to others. And I believe it has set a tone in our country during very difficult times. And for me, and I think for all of us, it's inspiring that we are being challenged to do more for our fellow citizen during very challenging times. There is a Tom McCall quote that is cited so often that, frankly, it's at risk of becoming a cliche. But I still, and it's something that every time Jack McGowan gives a speech, he cites to. But Jack is now in semi-retirement, so I'm going to take the liberty of quoting Tom McCall, because I think it's appropriate at this moment. And Tom McCall, former governor, said, "Heroes are not giant statues framed against a red sky. They are people who say, this is my community, and it's my responsibility to make it better. And the individuals and organizations that I have the honor of recognizing today are folks who have taken it upon themselves to make our community better. And I would ask representatives of all the following organizations to come up together, and then I'll recognize you separately. 211 Info, Portland Rescue Mission, Oregon Food Bank, City Team Ministries, Central City Concern, Portland Foursquare Church, Salvation Army, Transition Projects, Hands on Greater Portland, American Red Cross, JOIN, Housing Authority of Portland, Portland Bureau of Housing and Community Development, Portland Parks and Recreation. So, very briefly, let me, if I can, just describe what everybody here individually or as an organization did. 211 Info, during the winter emergency, was the place that a citizen could go to get information about services. Homeless individuals could call to find out what shelters were open and what their operating hours were. Folks that were snowbound could call and get help. People in our community flooded 211 Info with requests, and they stepped up and performed magnificently. Portland Rescue Mission. Portland Rescue Mission is one of our key partners downtown, and like a number of churches and soup kitchens and nonprofits, Portland Rescue Mission opened its doors throughout the storm, taking more people than they could handle, providing hot meals, companionship, and love. And the community brought an extraordinary number of supplies to Portland Rescue Mission and answered the call by bringing jackets and socks and things that people needed. And as the mayor said, Mayor Adams and I had the great honor of serving dinner on Christmas Eve at the Portland Rescue Mission, along with a church that had volunteered for that evening to step up. And I think for all of us who were there that night, it was a life-changing event. And we were all moved by the power of service. And Oregon Food Bank, the Oregon Food Bank and Rachel Bristol and all the good people who are helping to deal with our food emergency, we learned recently that the state of Oregon is now third in the country in hunger, that over 600,000 people a night go to bed hungry or with inadequate nutrition, and that there's been an explosion in demand for emergency food supplies from the Oregon Food Bank. And yet there they are in the front lines working to coordinate what for many people could be the only meal they get a day and doing tremendous service. City Team Ministries, again, joining with our other churches and soup kitchens during the emergency to open their doors and provide a warm place during the day and a meal for people that needed it. Central City Concern. Central City Concern is one of the city's strongest and most effective nonprofit partners, running all kinds of programs downtown for people, providing pathways to self-sufficiency. Time and time again, they've stepped up and made a difference. Portland Foursquare Church, a new partner, a church that when the storm and the emergency hit an acute phase, said, whatever you need, whatever we can do. And they converted a gym, a small gymnasium, into an emergency winter shelter managed wonderfully by the Salvation Army with completely inadequate facilities, but with people working long hours to make sure that everyone who came in through the door was treated with dignity and respect and had a place to sleep. And I will just remind people that there was no screening that occurred during this storm. Anybody who showed up in any condition was offered shelter. And just imagine those challenges. Imagine what it is not to screen, but to be able to accommodate hundreds of people in a tight space. And frankly, some of the volunteers I met for the Salvation Army, for the Red Cross, were just extraordinary in their service. Transition Projects. Transition Projects runs a shelter on Gleason, and they were the place where people registered to get to the Mead, which was an evening shelter operated by Multnomah County. They had an explosion of demand during this period of time, and they were not only wonderful partners, but they stepped up and provided absolutely essential services to our most vulnerable citizens. Hands on Greater Portland, a wonderful organization that provides, through the power of the internet, matches volunteers with service opportunities. And it's needed now more than ever, Dwight. I was at a community meeting recently, and a woman raised her hand, and she said, "I want to volunteer, but I don't know where to turn." And I said, "Well, Hands on Portland's made it easy. Just go online, pick a service that you want, sign up online, and volunteer. We need you more than ever." And Hands on Portland played a critical role matching volunteers to programs and services that occurred during the two-week period. And it was a place that someone could go and find out where they could volunteer in a shelter, a warming center, or elsewhere. American Red Cross. American Red Cross was the partner that the city engaged to run and manage our winter warming centers. And we think of the Red Cross as being an organization that collects blood and deals with emergency services. But their scope of operations is so much broader. And they managed and staffed the Foursquare Church and other warming centers and did so really with great distinction. And one of the things that struck me, and it's, I think it's another reason we in Portland need to be so grateful, is how many volunteers wore the Red Cross uniform who did not live in Portland. And think about that. People who came in from Gresham and Beaverton and Clark County to serve homeless individuals and folks who neither here and who we know by getting in their cars, because the MAX wasn't running, put themselves at great risk. To join, and Mark Jolin's here, a nonprofit that provides vital services to homeless individuals and families. And while firefighters were going along the streets looking for people late at night and coaxing them into shelter, Join was going out to parks and to railroad stations and to abandoned areas where they knew homeless individuals were making encampments and were trying to coax them within the boundaries of our law, but using forceful persuasion to get them to shelter. And I can't imagine, we cannot calculate how many lives were saved by virtue of the outreach work that Join did and continues to do. To the Housing Authority of Portland, which provides the bulk of our services in our community to the very poorest individuals through public housing, through Section 8 vouchers, and through affordable housing, maintenance employees of the Housing Authority of Portland during the winter emergency, 24 hours a day, were monitoring and intervening at various developments that they manage and operate to make sure that furnaces were operating, people were getting the heat they needed, and the basic services. To the Portland Bureau of Housing and Community Development, to Ryan and Sally, I said not long ago that if there was a Distinguished Service Award that we gave at the city level, I could think of a couple firefighters and a couple folks from BHCD and a few others who should get it. Sally Erickson is the coordinator of homeless services for the city of Portland, and Ryan Diebert is second in command, and the two of them alternated on duty 24/7 throughout the entire emergency, serving as the incident commanders under a plan put together by the Portland Office of Emergency Management. And I can tell you that until they heard that word and I heard it, I don't think I ever heard that phrase before, but within about 24 hours, they became incident commanders and coordinated with our law enforcement friends at police and fire and elsewhere, and did absolutely a magnificent job. To Portland Parks and Recreation and the staff who performed marvelously during this period, and I'm so proud now to be both the Commissioner of Parks and Housing, they stepped up. Did I mention the Salvation Army, Captain? Well, let's leave the best for last. The Salvation Army, Captain Sloan is with us. They run a number of vital shelters downtown, but services throughout our community. And something that I only learned when Captain Hodder, your predecessor, was in charge. They're the largest social service provider in the state of Oregon. They do more services to more people throughout our state, from victims of domestic violence to homeless services. to young teenagers who are pregnant and parenting, who want to continue their education, and on and on. And Captain Sloan is continuing a great tradition here at the helm. To all of you, we know that hundreds of lives were either saved or enhanced because of your collective efforts. And you came together not because of some master plan. You came together organically because that's what you do. You serve and you help people in need. And you reflected, in my view and the view of this council, the very best in our community. A heartfelt thanks for everything you did. And a round of applause, please.
It's my honor to give out certificates from the council, starting with 211 info. Portland Rescue Mission. Oregon Food Bank. Someone will send this over. City Team Ministries. Central City Concern. Is Ed Blackburn here? Send that back. Portland Foursquare Church. Salvation Army.
Yes. Thank you, man.
Transition Projects. Hands On Greater Portland.
Great job, Mike. Thank you.
American Red Cross. They're probably too busy dealing with another person. Join. Housing Authority of Portland. BHCD, Sally and Ryan. Portland Parks and Rec. Well, I'll take this one. Can we give them another showing of our appreciation?
Thank you, Commissioner Fish. It's my pleasure and honor to recognize the agencies and bureaus that were out, like a lot of others, out in the field working on public safety, law enforcement, and a lot of folks working on transportation. So if I could have representatives from the Police Bureau, the Bureau of Transportation, Portland Streetcar, the Oregon Department of Transportation, TriMet, the Port of Portland, National Weather Service, the Portland Office of Emergency Management, and Cheryl Cluck. This was, as has already been mentioned, but it is worth repeating, you know, this was the worst storm to hit the Portland metro area since 1940. It was a 10-day storm, a total of, I believe, 16, 18 inches in total. Ice, winds, very cold temperature, sleet, and in some parts of the region in the city, heavy accumulations of snow. It was incredibly, incredibly challenging for service providers out there on the streets and roads. But this group of people worked their heart out. And with inadequate funding, because we don't fund to a 40-year storm, these folks served this city really, really well. And one of the great things about this particular group, as good a job as you did, is that one of the first things we do afterwards is to debrief on how we can do it better. And it's that continuous improvement that you are all dedicated to that I find so inspiring, and the city should take great comfort in. On transportation, I was there almost, I would try to stop in every day. I wanted to see the sort of the front line, so I was able to ride with folks that were doing the plow trucks. We only landed in the ditch once because of bad pavement caught the plow. You guys were just, I mean, so incredibly dedicated to this. And I, you know, the public doesn't get to see, you know, your commitment and your passion and your perseverance on the front lines, but I did, and the citizens were served well. The Police Bureau that was always there to help out, I saw a number of officers in my time around the city in plow trucks pushing cars, and it was incredibly important that you all were out there and you stayed out there in force, and it really boosted people's morale and kept the city safe. The Portland streetcar actually ran 24 hours a day for 10 days, and it took passengers 24 hours a day for 10 days, never had a significant service disruption except when a bus stalled on the tracks or a car stalled on the tracks, and we have a policy of no ramming for the streetcar. The Oregon Department of Transportation, Jason Tell and his team, folks don't necessarily know, understand, or should care that some streets and bridges in the city are operated and maintained by the city and some are operated and maintained by the state. And you just were such an excellent partner, helping us out when we needed it, and we tried to help you out. Great leadership, great work, very difficult situation. TriMet. Who had a heck of a time, just one of the most challenging times that any transit agency should have in trying to keep the buses running. Some of the routes they were on were not routes that we could plow for a variety of reasons. And I really want to thank you for your perseverance and for your willingness on the debrief. Is Tyree here? He's not here. So this mysterious person, Tyree, is the person that, along with our own weather forecaster, but Tyree works for the National Weather Service, and every day we would hear the bad news about some new variation of winter weather hell was going to be on us the next day. But he was not only delivering the weather, but he also delivered hope that one day it would end. Day number seven, it was hard to, you sort of lose sight that this will melt one day, but he was there. Port of Portland, there were a lot of flight cancellations, but not because the port's runways and operations were affected by the storm. The flight cancellations were largely due because other airports were socked in, or the plane schedules were disrupted in other parts of the nation. So I don't think that the city truly understands what a great job the Port of Portland did keeping things moving through this storm. Cheryl Cuck, where is Cheryl? Who I think stayed up for 2 weeks straight, did an amazing job of keeping information flowing along with the rest of the team. Very difficult circumstances, but you prepared us well. Making the partnerships and information that were better than ever. And I really appreciate the fact that you stuck with it the whole time, that sort of knowledge through the event of what had happened before, what might happen in the future was really, really important. And then finally, we asked the Portland Office of Emergency Management during this storm to step up and take a leadership role like never before, to help ensure coordination. And so the daily conference calls, the web EOC utilization by more partners than ever really was served as the information and informational infrastructure that allowed us to be as coordinated as we were. Other communities would be very lucky to have what we have in the Portland Office of Emergency Management. So I want to thank you for that. And then is Richard Beadle here? Richard Beadle, who is the business manager for the Laborers, which are our largest union in the Office of Transportation, just representing workers, being able to see folks on the front lines and the extra passion and attention that they took to this task was incredibly inspiring. So I wanted to make sure that you knew how much we on the City Council appreciated that. So please give this group a round of applause.
Sorry.
Thank you all very, very much. Really appreciate your work. All righty. Let's hope it's another 40 years before we have to face this again. All righty. That gets us to Carla. Would you read the next?
These are resolutions. I haven't read them into the record, and we should take a vote.
Okay.
All right. We'll start again with 90. Commend Portland Fire and Rescue, Portland Water Bureau. And, you know, I'm sorry. I had three people signed up for testimony on these items.
Okay.
Ron Dean, Jasleen, Gay Harris, and Chris Smith.
On all items?
I only had one sign-up sheet. Okay. These are for all the items.
Good morning. Welcome to the City Council. Glad you're here. Please give us your name, and you have 3 minutes to speak to the resolutions.
My name is Rondine Ghislini. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to speak with you today. I just wanted also to thank the people that work tirelessly and selfishly for the city. This is in stark contrast to our mayor, who refuses to step down in the wake of the fact that he's dividing the community.
And we need you to keep your comments to the resolutions.
Okay. Mayor Adams is making those of us who work with teens in any form as mentors, as foster parents, look suspect.
And I'm sorry, I'm going to have to rule your testimony deleterious. Appreciate you being here, but I need to keep your testimony to the resolutions.
Okay, I just have one more comment about the winter storm. It would have been better if we could have spoken under Lars Larson or the other gentleman who spoke about you to resign, but we were not allowed to. There was no public comment allowed. And for that, I say shame on you, commissioners. Shame on you, Mayor Adams, for not letting the citizens speak.
If you go, you talk to Carla, you can sign. There's 5 citizen testimony spots every week, and you need to sign up for those. And there's a fair way so that we make sure that everybody takes a turn.
With all due respect, Commissioner Fritz, the sign-up sheets were not out there.
No, they're
and
not.
And every
you
week.
Have to send, you have to sign up in advance so that we make sure that everybody gets a fair turn. So if you talk to Carla Moore-Love, the clerk, you can sign up for a 3-minute spot on a future agenda item.
Okay. Well, my question to you is, why is it changing every week? Because last week we got to speak to the agenda items. This week we are not allowed to speak. The only thing we can speak on is the storm. You are trying to silence this.
No, there's, as Carla will explain to you, there are 5 slots every council meeting for the citizen like Lars did to sign up and speak to any issue, and we have 5 slots on that you can come speak at on any issue every week, and she can explain to you how that's done. Thank you. Chris?
Good morning. I'm Chris Smith, and I am the chair of the Portland Streetcar Citizens Advisory Committee, and to observe the legal niceties, I'm also the registered lobbyist for that group. We are the citizen body that interfaces between the public and Portland Streetcar, and on behalf of the CAC and on behalf of the citizens served by the streetcar, I just want to add my thanks to the wonderful work done by the staff of Portland Streetcar. It's already been pointed out that we operated 24 hours a day during the storm. That was thanks to the great work of our drivers and mechanics, who are TriMet employees, our supervisory staff, who are City of Portland employees, our 2 key supervisors literally each worked 12 hours a day trading off to make sure that the maintenance facility was staffed with a supervisor. My family was largely transit dependent during the storm. Portland Streetcar was the most reliable form of transportation available in the central city during the storm, and I want to express my thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other testimony on these 3 resolutions? All right, Carly, you want to call the roll on all 3?
Item 90. Commend Portland Fire and Rescue, Portland Water Bureau, and the critical infrastructure agencies of public utilities for excellent coordination and service during the winter storm event of 2008. Fish?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye.
91. Commend Bureau of Emergency Communications, Office of Neighborhood Involvement, Information and Referral Program, and Multnomah County Emergency Medical Services for excellent service and coordination during the winter storm event of 2008. Fish?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye.
92. Commend Bureau of Housing and Community Development, Portland Office of Emergency Management, Portland Parks and Recreation, and all agencies that worked with the city to provide shelter for populations experiencing homelessness during the winter storm event of 2008. Fish?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye.
93. Commend Portland Police Bureau.